Welcome to Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... Platform Zero.
Oh.
Okay.
Platform Zero. This is, of course, for our train episode.
We're finally doing it. Train movies.
Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
A train episode. Why? What do you mean finally? Is that? Have you been trying to do a train episode?
It's been on the Patreon poll since September, and we're only just doing it. Platform Zero, given to us by Phil Walters on Twitter. He got in touch with us on Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show. You can also find us on facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast to give us titles any time of the week. We usually ask for a genre every week. But yeah, if you've got an idea for a film title, fling it our way. Basically, we'll fill in the blanks.
Throw it at us.
Yeah, throw it
just
at us.
Don't put it in a hard container. That might hurt. Yeah. But like, if it's
a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Fold it into an airplane. We've had over 100 suggestions this week.
Holy crap.
For train movies.
Hang on. I thought you were joking. Really?
Yeah. We've had over 100.
That's amazing.
Over 100. And it's incredible. So thank you, everyone. Sorry if we can't read yours out this week. But yeah, now you know why we've had an absolute ton. The last few weeks have been loads. I think we've definitely hit a benchmark this week of over 100 suggestions,
and that's amazing. Wow. Especially for a genre so long in the making, having been on the Patreon poll for five six months now, and we finally convinced people to choose it. If you want to be involved in the vote next time, so you can prevent this happening again, you can go over to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast, and just pledge $1, and you get a vote in the next genre.
Mm.
But
you're very generous, aren't you? Mm. What a generous offer that is!
Yes, $1 is all need pass from your wallet.
$1 for 4 votes a month. That's more you get from living in British society.
It is.
We have a great vote to dollar ratio.
Joining us this week for our train episode podcast is Dave Bulmer.
Hello
Dave, you alright?
That's me. Yes, thank you. I am. Oh, I tell you what though, I've left it for a little while, so my chair has got a bit creaky squeaky, so if you hear any weird noises during this episode, that's what it is.
So, should we get into some of the honourable mentions?
Honourable mentions, yeah. It's been very difficult to choose.
Oh my
some
god!
Honourable mentions.
Right, bye. This week. I'm leaving. Bye. Done.
So, from Christopher Delamere, we've got "You're in My Seat."
Ooh.
Oh gosh! So this is a horror.
Grudge horror, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it could be kind of a slasher where? Basically, someone once booked a seat next to, somewhere. Someone took that seat and he killed that person. And now, on that same one, always follows the person who sits in that same seat.
Oh,
even though he hasn't booked
God.
That seat, always follows that person back home and kills them. And it's kind of a procedural to find out what the link is between these... Oh, it's in the name though. It can't be a twist at the end figuring that out.
No. So, who are we going to cast as I'm thinking a really uptight British person has got this seat booked and someone is sat there. I'm thinking like someone.
Rowan Atkinson. Has Rowan Atkinson done Unsettling yet?
Oh.
Because he could, couldn't he?
Yeah.
I bet he could.
Because you know, Robin Williams did the thing with the 24-hour photo, where you take someone who's universally loved and then just... It makes it all the more scary.
Mm.
when they're a bad person.
So I'm thinking Rowan Atkinson finds his seat taken by a homeless person who sat there with a can of Carling or Foster's, doesn't matter. Cause. Let's go with that. He's sat there drinking and he's like, ah, ah, ah. I'm sorry, sir, but I think you're in my seat. Ah, ah, ah. And Ron Atkinson gets really angry because it's a full train. So he waits until the homeless person goes to the toilet, follows him in and stabs him a few times, then throws him off the train. And then
things just go from bad to worse for this homeless person.
Yeah. And then he gets into his seat. Finally, I can sit down and enjoy my latte. And so he...
She's cold by now, presumably. If he hasn't been enjoying it before.
No, yeah. That's the punchline. He's just sort of like, oh, it's cold now. I was going to drink it, sat down, so I was waiting to drink it.
Da 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 da.
Boom.
That's the punchline. That's the punchline.
Rowan Atkinson kills a homeless person.
And now he's drinking.
There's a punchline. He goes to his business meeting in businessy London. And then on the train back, he finds that the same homeless person is in his seat.
Whoa, wait a minute. That's a good twist.
That's a great twist.
And he can't be like, he can't tell anyone or get any help because he'd have to be like, yeah, I know he's dead because I killed
this
him.
Man, yeah. I murdered this man and he's come back.
I'm sorry, I must complain. I murdered this man earlier.
Brilliant. Right, what next?
I didn't have anywhere really to go with this.
Does he do it again?
I think he's a bit freaked out by the fact that the same homeless person is in his same seat.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think he probably is.
Yeah.
I agree that he probably is.
Well, he would be, yes. But like, what I'm trying to say is, does he then resolve, okay, oh crap, he goes out into the intercarriage bit, you know, and I love that because I love more scenes should be shot in one of those. Mm. You know, the sort of the place between carriages where it's that kind of rubbery seal. Mm. So when it goes around a corner, there's that, and it's so loud in there, and there's no one in there usually. Well, unless the train's like oversubscribed or whatever, but there's very few people in there. But it's like a little tunnel of loud and horrible stress. and yet it's sometimes the most peaceful place
on
the train. Yes,
I like it there because. Because you get to stand on the bit where you're seeing into the next carriage and you really get a proper dose of exactly how wiggly a train really is.
Yeah. Mm. And also, the other thing is, sometimes that's the least stressful place in the train because you know no one's looking at you.
Mm. Yeah, I suppose.
Because you're like a silent observer outside the carriages. Whereas if you're on a train and you stand up, everyone's like, oh, what's the guy standing up for? But if like you want to get away from people, and in this occasion he does because he just killed someone.
Yeah.
He wants to go into that place, so he's there in this weirdly shaped, wobbly, bendy, loud area, and having a freak out in a sort of not Black Swan, Neon Demon sort of thing where it's just a sensory overload.
Mm. This is, I think, a genuinely really quite good concept for a horror film because the ghost is the protagonist in this. Like,
kind
here's
of.
A guy who's... Well, it is, because here's a guy who has just got away with murder in public.
Yeah.
He has.
Yeah.
Mm. And now, though, here's this avenging spirit that's going to chase him, like, for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Every,
but the point
every
of view
time
is
he books a seat, that guy is there.
Well, I think we do this over the course of like one train ride.
But here's the thing. No, I don't think it should just be on a train. Anytime he's supposed to be somewhere, anytime any space is reserved for him, not just like, I mean, the first thing I thought of was like, you know, cinema seat. Mm. But anything, anywhere he's ever expected to be.
He goes to a fancy restaurant and there's just, oh, someone's already taken your seat, sir, I'm afraid.
Oh, so this is this like on another occasion,
he's actually booked to do a talk in Businessy London and the ghost is there waiting for him, but only he can see the ghost.
Doing the talk. The ghost's there doing the talk for him.
Doing a talk.
No, yeah, it's only
Oh my God. No,
because, of course, yeah, it's his guilt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
It's his guilt manifesting in that. And so in a weird way, yes, the ghost is the protagonist, but we are experiencing this whole thing through Rowan Atkinson having a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Yep.
End of the film, because like all the way through the film, like he's going to business meetings and stuff like that. He's going for a promotion. And at the end of the film, he walks into the office for the interview for a promotion. And the boss of the big London business building is the homeless guy.
Yeah, or it's like it's played by the same guy.
Played by
least,
the
so
same
we
guy.
All recognize that it's him. Yeah.
Yeah, but in a suit.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, good Lord. Yeah. No. So
what
that's...
does that mean? So far, it's all been very, very sort of like it's manifested in his own brain. What does that mean when he's a different? It's the same guy.
You may have a point there, Matt, but it's cool anyway.
Yeah.
it's just a cool ending, Matt. Go on.
All right. Well, whatever.
Stop taking away my cool ending.
I guess I'm just a better writer than you guys.
This is the best film I've pitched in a while.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, we've got one here from Charlie Gascoigne, and that is, here comes Train Boy.
Whoa.
Oh, Train Boy.
Here comes Train Boy. I think this sounds like it's about like this kid who's the world's biggest fan of trains, right?
Mm.
But what lengths would he go to to be a fan of trains?
Well, it sounds a little bit like there's a dose of like, oh, here comes Train Boy. So there's a sort of bullying aspect there as well. Mm. It's like a almost like what was that tween movie, the kids the guy getting bullied thing that was out recently. It's like
Wonder.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Oh.
Oh, Wonder also.
Yeah.
You know.
I think we go with that edge, as in, it's a kid who slowly but surely replaces his body parts with train parts.
What? Okay. I mean, I'm down. It wasn't where I was going, but I'm down for it. Please go on.
So,
is it okay? So, you guys ever heard the Jonathan Coulton song "Future Soon"?
No.
It's about a guy who gets rejected by a girl in class, and the whole class laughs at him, and so he spends the rest of his time imagining what the future will be like, to the point of imagining himself as a scientist in a space lab in space, working on a robot army, and then taking it to its logical conclusion and having his robot army accidentally destroy Earth.
I think I have heard that song, actually.
Yeah, so, I can kind of imagine that this kid replacing himself is almost an exploration of this, the kind of, I want to change myself to stop being bullied. But he experiences that
no,
through.
Oh man, no!
No, he's
in my head.
He's literally changing himself. He's literally replacing his limbs.
No, this kid, right? The film starts off with a classroom, and the teacher's going, oh. Like, let's talk about jobs. It's like a nursery school kind of thing. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a spaceman. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a train. A train conductor. No, I want to be a train. And this kid talks to his dad, who works on the train line, and he goes, I want to be a train, Dad. And the dad, very supportive of him, just goes, cool. So he starts bringing, like, pistons and stuff like that home, replacing his legs with the...
Oh, so his dad is like, yeah, cool, I'll turn
his dad's a
train.
Monster, right. Yeah, okay.
Okay, just going to have... Let's just get this bone off you and put this piston in.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, so far.
I think that's it.
I think his dad's a train engineer. The edits I'd make to this are... The first scene happens, but he starts being bullied because he said he wants to be a train rather than a fireman. Mm. everyone else in the class said fireman. Every single one.
Wow, cool. They're from a fireman town.
Yeah, exactly. No fires in that town. That's their industry, so firemen.
That's the irony of it, isn't it? Yeah. as soon as you've got a whole fireman town, there's no fires anymore. Now what do you do? It's like how the coal mines, you know, they actually just any depleted mine when it's a mining town, and everyone's like, well, we're all miners, what do we do now?
Yeah. There's no fires anymore, what the fuck do we do?
Weirdly, I think that weird, like, surrealist aesthetic A, makes this a Terry Gilliam film, and B, makes this actually fits the theme. fits the weird I'm replacing my body with train theme.
In some towns, you know, like the coal mine actually depletes, but in others Thatcher just shut them down.
Yeah.
And meanwhile there are some towns where Thatcher shut down fire in that town. But in this town all the fires have been put out naturally by the abundance of firemen.
He's said that. He says he wants to be a train. He's being bullied. He goes home. His dad is a train engineer and already has parts of trains lying around. And so this kid starts undergoing on his own, starts replacing himself. Bits of himself. And at first it's going really well. Like, he replaces his arms with pistons and then he's really strong.
That's ace.
But it's not enough.
He can beat up those bullies with his piston arms.
Punch.
I love it.
Well, surely the last shot of this film is this, like, monstrosity of pistons and stuff, like, that's not even human shaped anymore, just like on the floor moving and going and working.
But what's this train fueled by, you, I hear you say?
It's fueled by love.
It's a steam train with a furnace at the heart of it. What's not allowed in this town?
Fire.
So you end up with all the whole town, all the bullies' dads in their fire engines, their bright shiny fire engines, rallying around.
Think of that. I thought they would be marching along with like hoses and their fireman helmets. Didn't even think that they would each have a fire engine to come, like, and it'd be like a Michael Bay shot of a line of fire engines jumping over a hill, basically.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Around they come.
That's a good visual image. And then there's the kid, basically now a transformer, but like
he
made of train parts.
Back into a child. I'm thinking at the end it's like the last car chase at the end of Mad Max 2, where this kid is trying to get out of town while being chased by fire engines, all trying to put the fire out in the furnace of the train.
And you hear hear like the kind of screeching of the train as it pulls away, and then all the bullies run out into the clearing and they're like, oh no, where did he go? And then they just like look down and there's tracks. Search for tracks.
we're gonna find his tracks. Oh, there they are.
Spread out and search for tracks. There we go.
So I'm thinking this ends with the train going up and up this hill and then flying off into the clouds.
Yeah, that would make it definitely a Terry Gilliam film, right? Yeah. Like, that would make it monumentally Gilliam. That is things flying off into the clouds at the end. And you're not quite sure whether it was real or not.
Yeah, that this guy wanted to be something, tried to shut him down. He realised at the end that they were all bad people for not letting him realise his dream.
And he escaped.
Because of the community he lived in.
Yep.
There you go. Here comes Train Boy.
There we go.
Weirdly, I really would like to see that made. Yeah. Only for the art form. You know, just so that exists.
Yeah.
It deserves a place in the world, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Even if that place is not necessarily being watched by anybody.
Yeah.
Well, it's going out now. Here comes Train Boy. Woo, woo!
So, yeah, there's your honourable mentions. Thank you, everyone, for those. And thank you for those, even if you didn't get yours read out. We appreciate having them. Don't let the fact that we got a lot of them this week put you off submitting each week, because we do read every single one. I make a point of, even though I don't see them before we record, I make a point of going back and looking at all of them so that I have seen them. And it's also, I just love it when people interact. My favourite parts are when you see like a Facebook thread or a Twitter thread where someone has seen someone else's idea and gone, oh no, do that one.
Yeah.
That's my favourite. Like when they're like, when someone else who was contributing recognizes someone else's and goes, you should do it.
Mm. It is nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
When people interact.
Yes. That's it. Sounded reductive, but yes, it is.
So, to give us titles any time of the week, please go to facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast and Twitter @ Life's a Pitch show as well. Give us a like and a follow on those things. Remember, as always, we are on soundcloud.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast, but we're also on iTunes and basically any podcast app you can find us on there if that makes it easier for you to listen to it. Remember to share it with your friends. Tell them about it. Tell them how much you enjoyed the podcast. And yeah, recommend it to anyone who loves films, I think, would enjoy this. Anyone you think would enjoy it, actually. Weird ideas for shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there are loads of ways you can share the podcast. Dave, do you have any wild ways that people could pass it on to friends? I always like the idea that they could vandalize something. Like, I don't know, knock over someone's bins and spell out in the detritus, Life's a Pitch podcast.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. If you ever find a particularly gruesome, you know, dead animal. One time I was, as a child, walking in a field and we found a rabbit that had been just completely eviscerated by some kind of animal. We don't know what it was, but its spine was out, its guts were out. If you ever see anything like that, you can just arrange that, you know, the contents.
Like, and leave it in a field, like a crop circle.
Leave it in a field, exactly like a crop circle. Yeah.
Do a crop circle.
Do a crop circle.
Do a bloody crop circle.
And then if any podcast fans who have a private, you know, small plane are flying over that crop, that field, then they'll see it and they'll go, lifesapitch.com?
Yeah.
That's obviously a piece of marketing. I will immediately follow it to its URL and find out what it is. Is it lifesapitch.com?
We haven't got a URL yet. We should probably get on that.
Yeah. In this field is written HTTP.
///
www.soundcloud.com/lifesapitchpodcast is written in a field.
Yep.
And the guy piloting the little plane is like, hang on a minute, let me write that down. HT. I'm going to have to go around again.
Crashes the plane.
Exactly. Yeah. Ironically, obscuring the important part.
I think that's our target demographic is insane, the insanely rich, so that they can bankroll one of their favourite pitches.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do worse, couldn't you? All you need is one insanely rich patron.
Yeah, that is
just
true.
One. Everyone else is off the hook then.
I'm gonna be wandering around London after we go to Hamilton next month. I'm just gonna wander around London for the next day looking for insanely rich people and trying to pitch the podcast to them.
Yeah.
Yes, but if you are insanely rich, or if you really enjoy the show and you want to contribute to its continued improvement monetarily, then you can go to patreon.com/livesapitchpodcast to chuck us a little bit of coinage. You can give us $1 and you get to vote on the genre each week. So that's 4 votes a month for just the $1. You can get behind the scenes stuff. You can get a bonus pitch every single week. You can get movie commentary tracks. There's all sorts of stuff over there. Go and explore. It's a cool little place with loads of extra little bits of content.
Loads of stuff from us, basically. Yes. We've had a lot of people contributing. Thank you for that, guys. Those people are Ross_Originals, My Waste of Talent, Brandon Spanky Mills, Joe Hegarty, Brent Black, Darius the Unsettling, Mihir Trivedi, Alex Keane, and Stephen Douglas Thomas. So thank you for your contributions, guys.
Actually, it's not Darius the Unsettling anymore. It's Spicy Boy.
Spicy Boy. Okay, so I'm gonna change
just had
that.
To correct that one. Thank you, though, Spicy Boy.
Before we go on to this week's main pitch of Platform Zero, we've got a Yes Very Clever award to give out.
Ooh!
Not only one, but three. I feel are deserving.
Oh my goodness!
For this one.
This is
Very Clever Awards.
You do risk now devaluing the Yes Very Clever Award. We had the person who won last week actually put it on their CV. So, we don't want to devalue it too much.
Yeah. But I think these three, this is a one-time thing, I think. Maybe if they're good enough next week, I'll give three more out. But yeah, usually it's one, but this week it's three. And this award is given out to people who've given us titles that we can't really do anything with because they're already existing titles, but with a little pun change to them. So shall we play the sting?
Yes, very clever.
The winners of the Yes Very Clever Award this week are Jenny Garner, who's given us Sodor and Gamora.
Oh.
Yes, very good. Very clever.
Very clever.
It's Sodor is the place that Thomas the Tank Engine lives and works.
Mm-hmm. From James Cannon, we've got...
he doesn't commute.
Living.
From James Cannon, we've got Sex and the Intercity 125.
It's got City in it.
And
that's how it functions.
And from Conor Lavelle, we've got The Little Engine That Cognito Ergo Sum.
Okay.
That I reckon we could have worked with.
We could have worked with that.
Making a documenting the process by which a train becomes a Thomas by becoming self-aware.
Becomes a Thomas.
So this week's main title again is Platform Zero from Phil Walters. Thank you for that one, Phil.
Platform Zero.
All right, Platform Zero. So this is obviously some kind of mega platform, isn't it? This is your normal platforms in your normal station are going to start ordinarily with one.
Yes.
Mm.
Traditionally, one is your first station platform.
And then you go up in integers from there, barring any wizardly interference. Mm.
You do. Whereas Platform Zero, on the one hand, might just be a platform one to the left of one because they decided to add another platform. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to suggest, fellas, you can see if you want to go with me on this, that we take things a little bit in more of a strange direction.
On this show?
Yes, I think we should have that Platform Zero is otherworldly in some way.
Yeah, I think
so. I don't really know what way.
It's it's
just
it's,
talking in a voice.
If you say like the zero dimension, the zero realm, it's always sort of like things are floating around. Gravity doesn't quite work the same way. You can go to different places.
It is always
from
that, isn't it? It's always that when you're talking about the zeroth dimension.
Yeah, I think it is. As far as I've ever seen, people talk about zero anything. It's always floaty things
floating around
in
an
endless void.
In an endless void. So that's what this platform is. What's the purpose of this platform? Because do people still have to try and catch a train on it? Is it just a really inconvenient train platform?
What if?
Yeah.
All right, this is going to be a bit weird.
Okay.
What if there was just a regular train station in a regular city in England, right?
Yeah.
But at one point there was some kind of fluctuation in like someone had done an experiment in a nearby building, or there was some kind of random fluctuation in the time-space continuum, and part of it just got straight into a weird pocket dimension. But
oh, crikey.
The government couldn't just say, oh yeah, by the way, this city might be prone to pocket dimensions. So they cover it up. They just add another platform onto the end, and then they just move all the signs up.
Yeah. Okay.
So the old platform one is now platform zero, and is just sort of there.
Now we've got a weird platform. We have to think about what goes on this platform. Honestly, I'm starting to think this is where the ghost trains go, or some sort of monstrous activity takes place there. You know, weird things are getting onto trains, getting off trains, and it's, you know, the odd hellish reflections of the psyche of the people on the normal platforms.
Well,
really weird stuff.
Sometimes platforms, usually I'll say, platforms aren't just on a track on their own. Sometimes they are, but sometimes you have platform one and two be on the same track.
You do indeed.
So, there are trains that keep going. They go from platform two, they pick up some passengers, they go to past platform one, and then they just zoop, no, they're gone. Because just so happens that the entrance to this pocket dimension is there at the time.
Yeah. So, like, and as you're sitting on the train, the announcement goes like, this train is going to be calling at, you know, Stockport, Manchester Piccadilly. And it's just this weird digital screen.
And like when you get there, it's like, we will, this train will reach its final destination at 9999999999. It just keeps going, and then that's when all the lights go out. So I think we maybe cast this from a family who are about to go on holiday to, like, I don't know, Whitby. Just sort of like they're just off on a family outing.
They get the wrong train. You know that feeling that when you get on a train and you sit down and the train starts moving, you're like, I'm going to check if I'm on the right train.
Have you ever done that and you were not on the right train?
No, I've always been on the right train.
Oh,
I've never not been on the wrong train.
I've done it. Let me tell you, it is chilling. I was on a sort of an underground train or something, or at least a train you had to go down some escalators to get onto in Liverpool. And I was taking this train to a quite nearby station where I was going to do a talk at a school about comics and making comics. And I only had a certain amount of time, but I didn't know what train to get on. And I got on the one I thought it was. And I just, you know, I just asked whoever was on the train, like, is this the train to here? And they went, no. And I thought they were joking at first. But the train had started moving. They were like, no, it isn't. And luckily, the guy I was talking to happened to know, if you get off this train at the next stop, then go here and go over there and get on this train and do this. Like, he knew exactly what I could do to get the correct train.
Lucky.
Which was extremely useful, because otherwise, it's just like a feeling of your life draining away. Because you're like, well, I'm on the wrong train. And now all of the information I've gathered in order to go on this journey is just out the window now. None of it matters.
Yeah,
and you never saw that man again.
No.
he walked through the carriage into infinity.
So
I did just never see that man again.
Yeah, you're on a train. Yeah.
Well, so I think we play on that, right? And we play on that feeling. But also, what about the feeling of when you fall asleep on the bus or on the train and you end up, nobody notices you, and you end up at the what's it? The terminus, wherever the train's sort of wheeling, right?
Yeah.
What if that is sort of where trains are eventually ending up, and everyone else is off? Everyone's cleared off. You've even got like government men on the platform making sure that everyone's off, because they know that this train can't be stopped from leaking into the platform zero.
Yeah.
And then this person or these people wake up and they're in this bizarre, like, reflected realm.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, with that digression, we should decide what goes on in the horror dimension of... Are we deciding this as a horror movie?
It must be.
I think it's just a weird sci-fi movie.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, where this family go to alternate Whitby.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, so they get up and they've reached their destination in this Nega realm, right?
Yeah.
They're sort of like... In
Dimension Zero.
And I think we can do a lot of sort of like Del Toro-esque sort of... You can see the inside of the carriage, but like there are shadows going past and lights coming in that do not belong to any landscape. And so you can see the inside, and you can see them all asleep on the carriage, them just moving through this landscape. And you get the inference that they're going past a ton of horrors, but they don't see any of them because then they get to Nega Whitby.
Part of Whitby, like it's recognizably Whitby. However, it's Whitby designed by M.C. Escher.
Yeah.
So it's got all the landmarks there. I think there's a place in Whitby known for it being 1,000 steps.
I don't think it's 1,000 steps, is it? It's a lot of steps. Is it
99 steps?
Yeah, that's different to 1,000. I thought it was 99.
That sounds right.
But Whitby's also known for witches and... I don't know. This Dracula. Should not be another film about Whitby. We've done it a lot.
Right. No, we haven't. It's been a few years since we've done a film about Whitby.
I believe the ant thing was about Whitby. I could be wrong. Anyway.
Yeah, never mind. Whitby's a good place. So Dracula, witches, goths. So it's all.
Elidor? Is that a Whitby?
Not sure. It is in this film. So it's Whitby, but in an alternate world. So there's a lot of things recognisable about it. There's a lot of things not. And I think this family has to go through a sort of... This is sort of a second act kind of thing of them sort of realising they're in a different world.
Realising that they got on the wrong train, or that they fell asleep on the train. They've gone to the wrong place. They need to try to get the train back to Platform Zero. That's why it's called whatever it's called.
But the train station is gone. Platform Zero has disappeared. And Whitby is ran by Magical Man Dracula.
Magical Man Dracula?
Played
Magical
by,
my favorite Magical
by
Man.
Cliff Richard. He drives around Whitby in his... double-decker doom bus.
Yeah.
It's painted all in black.
Anyway, so, it doesn't matter where they are, really. But, because it's all in this weird realm. We can do whatever we want with it.
So I'm thinking Dracula Cliff Richard is going around in a double-decker bus with his posse of vampires. Cliff Richard in this is kind of like a David Bowie in Labyrinth.
Okay.
Kind of guy. And he's putting the family through holiday-based trials.
So I have a sort of suggestion that...
Please say you've got a counter pitch, Matt. Please. I don't know where this is going.
I have a suggestion that in this place... It's not like these are natural inhabitants of this place. It's that other people who have been trapped on this same route have got off and been delivered throughout the country and have sort of like been warped into these things. So there's a businessman bad guy sort of one who's like, I was on my commute and now I have a giant factory that's like... soaring to the sky because he was going to a big old business factory meeting, and he's sort of like changed the world around him, because in the Nega realm, whatever you were intending to do becomes your reality, like a prison.
Okay.
So they get to what they think is Whitby, and it just so happens to be this twisted horrendous version of a holiday town, right? A seaside town.
Mm.
And on their and when they figure it out that they're in the wrong place and that the train line's gone, they've got to make their way back. After meeting other people, they've got to make their way back through other people's nightmares, potentially Wizard of Oz style, freeing them from their own kind of wrong destination.
Yeah.
So they meet this businessman who's on his commute, and he's being shouted at from all sides by these like demonic kind of boss figures for being late, for not getting that return done on time. There's an outbox. It's very sort of Brazil. There's an outbox that he's working as hard as he can, but the inbox just keeps coming in as even faster for everyone he puts out to come in. And then they manage to the kids, I'm going to say, of this family manage to like push over the stack of papers or something like that, free him from the stupor that these guys have been shouting at.
Push over the stack of papers into the wall, and the wall crumbles.
The wall doesn't crumble. They push over the stack of papers, and these big boss dudes, these huge red horned boss men in suits, are like, "What are you doing? This is such a cut to productivity." And the dad is like, "Oh, I didn't mean to be here. I'm sorry for my kids. Well, I was just here because I wanted to play mini golf." And they were like, "Golf?" And then like he starts talking to them about golf, allowing this guy this kind of
what's your
sort of,
handicap,
like, yeah, exactly. And allowing this,
about
this,
golf.
This guy whose nightmare it is to sneak away from the desk and get out while everyone shepherds him away, they sort of go through kind of freeing different. So we now have to think of a couple more examples of people you might find on a train who might have gone to the wrong location, and then the place that they were going being made bad. So let's start with who might you find on a train, where might they be going?
Oh my god.
I'm thinking a backpacker.
Yep, brilliant.
Could be trapped on a street that never ends.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's got his backpack on, and he's walking down this road trying to find this hostel, and the road keeps repeating like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Or so, it's like it's a backpacker, and they've got that kind of wanderlust to them, right? And
yeah,
so
yeah.
Also there's sort of loads of things telling them that they've got to. There's someone saying, "Oh, you got to come and wash the dishes. Like, this is your job. You do this every day. Come on, you got to do it." Like a 9-to-5 treadmill sort of thing.
Yeah, he's walking down this road, and all the shop fronts are where he worked.
Yeah, yes, perfect.
With his boss shouting, "Come back to work, come back to work." And they find him on this road, and they say, "Oh,
Who's playing the parents here? Let's cast the parents.
Parents.
I see no good reason that it shouldn't be John Goodman as the dad.
John Goodman and...
Even though he's far too old now.
John Goodman and Susan Sarandon.
We're always casting people from earlier in their lives. Yeah.
John Goodman and Susan Sarandon, the two parents from Speed Racer, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're the ones.
Yep.
They've got good chemistry.
They do have good chemistry. So, yeah. That happens. How are they gonna get the backpacker out of this situation?
They convince him to put his backpack down so he could run faster, and thus escape the street.
Oh, because of course, like
job.
it's just ahead of how fast he can run. Like the
basically.
Edge, you can see the edge of the street.
He's got to let go of his responsibilities.
Yeah.
Really escape.
You can see the edge of the street building itself. Every single time he like runs, it sort of like, you see the cop, like in a kind of, what do they call it? Magical Beasts, whatever that rubbish Harry Potter film was. You see the kind of road building itself as it goes along. All the cobbles are flying in onto the street.
So who else do you see on trains?
people... Go on.
Well, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because, like, anyone can go on a train. Well, anyone who can afford a ticket can go on a train.
Mm.
The only thing that's springing immediately to mind is me going to Hamilton with Matt next month, living out my nightmare of having to go to London for any reason.
Yeah, so you could have like
a cameo from Dave.
Dave, yeah.
He's just in London.
Just lost.
They walk around a corner and see Dave stuck in London.
Yeah. I'm going, it's big here and I don't know where I am.
And I think someone going
home.
And they
direct you to Hamilton.
How about a student going home for the holidays? Because we've established it's holiday time, right? So...
Yeah. So like she's going home for the holidays.
And she's got like all the judgment of, she's got like a lip ring or something like that. You know, she's changed, she's got a tattoo. And she's just got her parents sort of like, again, a little bit labyrinthy, sort of, oh, you don't want to leave there. Oh, you shouldn't have changed anything. You should have stayed here and worked for the gardening centre that we know.
But the parents are Jim Henson puppets.
Yeah. I definitely think the bosses from earlier were Jim Henson bosses, and also on the street, like the two bosses in suits and the guys in the shop fronts of all the places that guy had worked, all Jim Henson puppets. This is definitely a Henson film.
Yeah. All Jim Henson puppets. It's a Muppet movie.
Problem without any of the Muppets.
There's not enough all Jim Henson puppet films around anymore.
Yeah.
No.
Why not? Let's do it.
I think it's a really... Yeah. I love the aesthetic. I do. I really do love that
and
mix.
And so this is the point. This is the darkest point, I think, in which that they realize they're not going to get home ever. And they are chased. They sit down on a bench and are immediately harassed by the loud noise of a full Jim Henson puppet stag party.
Oh wow, what would that be?
They're all puppets apart from the leader who they talk to, who is played by Mark Hamill. He's running this. He's the best man at this stag party. And he's getting them all there. They've all got cans of lager on them. And they're all cheering and shouting and fighting and stuff around this family as they're sat down on the bench contemplating eternity walking through this town helping people.
Well, we could have them get to a point where, they see Dave, like... in London, like in a big sprawling city, and they say, "Oh, well, do you know where we can get a connecting train to, you know, to somewhere that can take us to Platform Zero?" And then you're like, "Over there," because you're in a place that should have all the amenities, right? A city. You just don't know where they are, and so like, by freeing you, they actually find a map. And you're all now making your way along to try and get back through this. So there's now quite a big party of people, now making their way, and they get onto a train. The whole lot of them, the whole lot of you, Dave.
on at the stag party, the husband or the stag is having second thoughts.
Okay. So you've got like a kind of a ball and an allegorical ball and chain sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that the thing was, John Goodman takes him to the side and convinces him, saying, "Oh, I've got a good relationship with my wife, I had second thoughts too. I don't know what this impression is, but
it's Nick Cage, apparently."
And so the ball and chain is cut off.
Figuratively, it's got to morph into
Henson
a loving
puppet.
Wife, right?
Yeah.
A lovely Jim Henson's Creature Shop wife.
Yeah.
Like, it's Miss Piggy.
Like the ball and chain. It's Kermit the Frog, and he's got a ball and chain on him,
this
and he
pink,
kisses the
ball.
The ball and chain,
chain
has got a mouth as well. Yeah. A mouth that it keeps teasing him. It's like, you'll never be good enough for her. Ah, there's so many better options. Ah, ah. What are the second thoughts? Like,
don't
you
leave
gotta spend
me.
The rest
never
of your life with
your
this one
life.
Woman. Yeah, and then he's John Goodman convinces Kermit the Frog to kiss this ball and chain, and he turns to Miss Piggy, who he then regrets. It's like I remember their relationship not being very, very happy, really.
I don't know. I don't think maybe I misinterpreted it.
They weren't the perfect couple by any.
No, no, by all means, no.
The way I remember it, it wasn't really consensual on Kermit's side.
Yeah, exactly. That's. I think that the stag party is Mark Hamill and the Muppets. So okay. We've got the
Statler
and Waldorf.
Wait a minute. Hang on a minute. Let's throw out all our other ideas. This film is Mark Hamill and the Muppets. The end.
So yeah, like okay. So we've got the stag party. They've freed them now. They're all just happy Muppets following them along. They now have a full train carriage of people.
Mm.
Freed from
address?
Their nightmares.
Is the film ever going to address the fact that at the start of the film nobody was Muppets and now everyone is Muppets?
I think
that should be done really gradually and to try not to let any audience member notice.
So, yes, actually,
Richard,
because the zero realm, like this platform zero world, slowly changes you. Right, it slowly creates things out of your brain. So it makes sense that they would change their sort of view of themselves when they'd reached enlightenment.
Yeah. Enlightenment.
They become Muppets.
Yeah.
When you reach enlightenment. I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
So, but of course, they're all, by the end, they're all Muppets. Every single one of them is a Muppet. Mm. And they're all just like bouncing along on their way up to the, they're like, we found it, we found the train. We found the train. And then they get there and there's Cliff Richard.
Cliff Richard
standing in their way.
Cliff Richard, the vampire train conductor, who is like, I can't remember what Cliff, I'm just going to do
a
Mick Jagger.
It's me. Hi, guys.
That's a good. Yeah, that's a good one. Now you've got a full train carriage. Now you've got a full train carriage. I'll let you on the train.
All right, oh, Cliff Richard. Yeah, I've got a full train carriage.
I thought we were going with Cliff Richard as bus conductor because I imagine Susan Sarandon's got like loves. Some of the soundtrack to Summer Holiday. He's a bus conductor, and she wanted to go on a bus, but John Goodman said, "Let's go on a train."
Yeah,
right? This is the final like chink in their armor. No. Cliff Richard pulls up on a and does like a bus.
Can we meet in
like,
the middle somewhere?
You should
as
have
in,
taken a
this
bus.
This is a bus on a train track. So,
yeah. Why not?
I was just thinking this is their final like thing to overcome.
Mm.
Is. Cliff Richard in his prime, beautiful man,
bus.
is saying, "Come on, Susan Sarandon, come off with me, and we'll go on a holiday." And she's like, "Oh, we should. I told you we should have taken a bus." And then, but at the end, their romance pulls through, and they get on a train.
And Cliff Richard was like, "That was the test all along." Get on the bus, guys, and then all the Muppets cheer and they all sort of waddle onto the bus and go through the tunnel and back to platform one.
Yep.
Yeah.
But they get fired out of a vortex.
Yeah.
one at a time.
And
landing in a pile on top of the suited man who was trying to cordon the area off.
And everyone's turned from Muppets to the real people.
Yeah, and yeah. press notice. Mm. You see, it's a two-shot thing. We see them firing out of this portal as a Muppet, and when you cut to see them landing, they're human.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's pretty much whatever that film was called.
Yeah.
Platform Zero.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was all right. Thanks, Phil Walters, for the title. I hope this meets your expectations of what you thought that would be.
I reckon that's exactly what Phil Walters thought it was going to be.
So, thank you for listening to our train genre podcast this week. Remember to go over to soundcloud.com/Life's a Pitch podcast to listen to everything we've ever done. Visit Patreon as well to give us some support if you really want to. Remember to share the show, and remember to go to facebook.com/Life's a Pitch podcast and Twitter @Life's a Pitch show as well to give us a follow. You get news, you can give us titles, you can interact with us there. So yeah, I highly recommend going there.
Dave, where can people find you?
They can find me on YouTube as Demon Tomato Dave. They can find me on podcast as Serious Disney, which is... there's a temptation to put a Z in there, but there isn't one. It's Serious Diz, D-I-S-N-E-S-S. It's an animation podcast where we're talking about Disney films. We talk about Frozen for the first several episodes, and then we start talking about rather more eclectic things. Still Disney films, but you'll just have to wait and see.
You can find me personally at Matt Speaks Words and Tom at Tom the Director. Mm-hmm. Go over there, give everyone a follow. Thank you for listening, everyone. Thank you for everyone who submitted titles. And until you fall asleep on a train and end up in absolutely the wrong film. I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Tom McGrath.
I've been Dave Bulmer.
Remember who pitched it.
Bye.
There we go. Ooh, awesome.
A slightly Muppety Bye there.
Muppety Bye.
Muppety Bye.
Muppety Bye. Muppety Bye, everyone.
The Muppety Bye times.
Whoa, that was weird. Skype froze upon Muppety Bye. Might as well stop my recording there. Muppety Bye!